Yeah.
I get that.
Pardon?
You changed that.
Go ahead, Eugene.
So much for the sanctity of embassies under this kind of system. Under the capitalist, any law can be broken, regardless of how sacrosanct supposedly is, particularly when it's by a group that is not getting media coverage, except by in left sources. They just run roughshod over forms of democracy when it doesn't suit them. Over.
Yeah, well, yeah, our government breaks every international law that they want to, you know, so it doesn't matter if you break that. I think they've broken every Indian treaty they've ever made. So why not more?
So Rita, Eugene, Mary, Matt, Joe, Howard, and Sue.
Super. Okay. So, okay, that took the number one thing on our agenda here. It was an update on the annual committee meeting, and if we don't have any word yet, then I don't know, Howard. I guess you got to ask him about it.
Yeah, I've written Dee. I just wrote her.
Oh, okay.
To ask her about it, so we'll see if I get a already got a response.
Oh, what'd she say?
I said, have I missed the announcement? She says, no, you haven't missed anything. I'm about to send out an announcement. Sorry for the delay. Things aren't quite yet there. Probably another week.
Oh, okay. Well,
another week.
Why not?
Eugene Stack.
Go ahead, Eugene.
If they have 70 proposals, it is a monumental task, or it is a large-scale task, and to me it is understandable, particularly when people are short-staffed, when the organization is short for all.
Yeah, right. Yep, no problem.
But is that unprecedented? I mean, I've never heard of that.
It's 70 proposals when there's usually, you know, maybe 20. That's a lot.
Is it 70 or 700?
70.
Oh.
70 is quite a bit.
I thought it was 700.
No, heavens.
That'd really be crazy.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
Yeah. So I imagine she breaks them down into categories. I don't know, but Dee, she's pretty good.
Yeah,
but break it down into categories and then try to, you know, sift it down to the target.
Don't answer your question. I don't know. So.
Right.
Okay. All right, next on our agenda, the discussion on the platform changes. And I did upload Joe's document to the Google Docs in the discussion folder.
Oh, okay. So
for anybody that's on the phone, and I guess Matt's the only one that's on the phone. And so I don't know if you want to put it on the screen or if everybody wants to pull it up. So,
I could put it on the screen.
Do you want to do that? I guess you could. Matt, do you know how to find it in the Google Docs?
Yeah, if you have something, well, basically, if I get something that's emailed, I'm looking at, I was looking at something earlier that we got.
Yeah.
Something I have uploaded this document.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it says, Joe and Rita, and it said, I've uploaded this document, documents for discussion.
Yes, right.
7 minutes ago. So the file name is 0516 State Banking Reform.
And if you pull up the agenda, I think the link is in the agenda as well. Okay, I can't do anything now because...
Yeah, I've got it now. I see Amendment, State Banking something, and Greenbacks Pay Society.
Okay. Anyway, the document that we're talking about right now is the Platform Amendment that Joe is proposing here.
Can we make it a bigger print?
I don't know. It's pretty big on my screen. Taking up my whole computer. Takes up my whole screen. And I can't figure out how to make it smaller. So,
don't make it smaller.
Up here. Let me see. Ratio. Oh, let's. Okay, I see. But it's on Fit to Window, and I sure don't want it there.
Say Select All. Right down there. Down, go below where it says Select.
Oh, I did 50%. Boy, it's small now.
This is better.
Did you find it better? Did you get it better?
Well, look, at least on a share, my computer looks better.
Let me see what original size. Okay, the original size is... No, it popped it out and made it big again.
I got it 100%.
Okay, I did exit...
Make it 120 or something. 120?
Yeah. Okay. 122?
That's good.
That's better.
Okay. So.
Can anybody hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I was good.
Where do you want to start on this, Joe?
Well, let's leave it there. You know, leave it there at the beginning and let me explain what's there. I took the template, I guess, from the instructions, and that basically is in the box on the top, the general template, the basic of a template. Then I tried to go down and tried to match those with what I thought was the information, and part of what I wanted to do is to see if that's right, if that's the right thing to start. In case you can't, anybody can't read it, I put a place for dates, like I put today's date for the initial submission. And that other date does that have an approval date, because I'm pretty sure that stuff is on there. But anyway.
Hang on just a second. I need to pull it up somewhere else because I can't see the whole document.
Yeah, that's probably best if everybody can just kind of pull it up on the side. Let's see. I was going to... Oh, pull the platform.
Oh, dear. Why am I having trouble? Okay, there we go. All right, I have the document up now.
Well, Howard, can you roll down a little bit?
Roll down on what document are we looking at? The banking one?
The one that's on the screen, yeah.
Is that what's up? I've been moving things around.
I see what you're saying, right. Yeah, that's what's up.
Okay.
So, this...
I'm having trouble with this. There we go.
Joe, okay. This number 15, where's that from?
Well, that would be from, because in the plank, there are 14 under banking reforms right now. So the new plank would be number 15.
Oh, okay. Let me go through the general template here for a second. Name of the party, your caucus, committee, and co-chair contact information. All right, so that would be BMRC, and then contact information for the co-chairs.
Now, so do I put more than Howard and Rita's name and what, their email addresses on the BMRC?
Yeah, or you could use the BMRC address. Yes. You would put the names of the co-chairs, and then if you want, use the BMRC address.
Okay.
In the initial submission date, with the brief explanation of approval process and date of approval. Okay, once you get this bylaw amendment written, platform amendment written, it has to be approved by the committee,
right.
All right? And what they want to know there is what approval process we use and what date it was approved.
Right.
So we would have to tell them we either voted on it or accepted it by consensus or whatever you want to say, and the date that happened, okay? That's what the brief explanation of approval process and date of approval is.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And three is contact information for the author or designated contact person. Name, address, phone, and email. Now, if you're the author, I would think, Joe, that your information goes in there.
Okay.
Yeah. And then current language of the plank that is being addressed. Now, are you amending something or are you adding something?
We're adding
line 15.
Then I would put on five, I would put not applicable, and maybe put a note there that, you know, a provision is being added.
Just write the proposed revision. The new plank. Okay.
And then number six, the proposed revision or amendment of the current language or proposed new plank. All right. In there, you would put the wording of the proposed new plank.
Right. Yeah, these numbers are on this were just kept self generating, and I kept correcting them, and they just kept self generating.
Oh, okay.
And in the end, I decided it was better to send it out with the wrong numbers on.
are these numbers from the template for submission? Are those correct?
The ones on the top.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I copied that from
okay, and the proposed revision then would be the actual language that you want inserted into the platform.
Right.
Okay. In additional comments, you would probably want to say, you know, exactly where in the platform that you're inserting that.
Yeah.
Chapter 4, Plank I, Banking and Insurance Reforms, number 15.
Okay.
And then the language down there.
Now I notice there's additional language after line 9, which is about number 15.
It's all the same, Howard. Again, I just tried to make like a separate
space
there.
Okay, that's what.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
It just gave you.
Can still with that for a while.
Okay, number 15, you want to put in there, the Green Party supports and promotes the expansion of public banking opportunities in this country. This expansion of state and public banking must be based on consistency with existing monetary reform provisions of the platform. Is that the wording that you want in that?
That's what I was supposed
to. Okay. I would have to go see what else is in that banking provision, I guess. And then additional comments. That would mean maybe why you're putting this in there.
The additional comments, no, I didn't put any additional comments. I think I asked at the end if we should add comments here or just let them come out over the discussion process. but it does invite us certainly to do that. And I already have picked up on what you said about what should be in the additional language. But all the rest of everything else is still part of number 15.
Yeah.
I don't know if Howard can get rid of that number 10 or not.
Yeah, I think so. Actually, I think I can.
Okay, the rest of this is by way of explanation, is it?
No, it's all part of it. So this is all part of the.
Oh, this is all part of number 15. Not where I where I'm. What's number 10?
There was no number 10. That was just a.
Okay.
He couldn't. He had done a return.
It automatically numbered it, and he didn't intend for that to happen. So everything after the number 9, everything else down here is all part of the proposed language of the new number 15.
Right.
Now
that I know that we are going to have explanatory comments, it would be worth it to me to take out the last paragraph, which has a subparagraph, because that relates to the monetary reform provision that was earlier referred to, but this is an explanation of that.
Okay.
Why in terms of its consistency and its relationship with the monetary reform language. So we could say that the way I would do that is after it says should be rejected, that would be the end of it, and then the rest of it would be the discussion or whatever that question or comments. Yeah, comments, I guess.
Did the template say questions? Additional comments or questions?
I would roll that up.
Yeah. Additional comments or questions.
Okay. I'm not exactly sure. I think they would want it in there, an explanation of why you want the additional. A question. I don't understand what they want in the way of questions.
That would be a pretty simple explanation, that public banking is certainly talked about by many Greens and even proposed by many Greens, and yet it's not in the platform. So this is putting it in the platform. It seems like it's time. There must be some good language about that. I'll follow.
What you need to do right now, Joe, is simply to write up a simple proposal to our committee that we adopt this platform change to include the addition of this paragraph 15 and give us the language of it, and it's up to the committee to approve that.
That's why I put the opening of the discussion.
And then, this whole, what do you call it here, template here for submitting it to the platform committee, you don't really need to do all that till after we approve the platform change.
Okay.
So right now, all you need to do is make a simple proposal to the committee that, you know, this is the language of this section, and I want to add number 15 or whatever, and it will read as follows.
Okay.
And so then...
Do we want that? I'm sorry.
Pardon?
Go ahead, Rita. I'm sorry. I was just going to ask a question.
Go ahead. What's your question?
Well, I was looking at this paragraph here that ends with the following provision, and it's a colon and a hyphen. Per capita guidelines will assure. I think Joe said something about these last parts. Is that still part of the plank 15?
No.
Okay.
No, Howard, that would be you know, more of the comment. The comment.
Okay, so where does the plank 15 end?
And that should be rejected.
Okay.
So the next paragraph is not part of it. Okay.
Right.
What is paragraph 17?
Paragraph 17 of the monetary reform, plank, is the part where it gets into the money creation part about the monetary authority will, you know, authorize them, the fact that the government will create and issue all the money.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's something different than the numbering where the number 15 goes.
It's in the section.
Yeah. Wait a second, Howard. Listen to this, okay? From what Rita just said, I use the existing numbers, okay? But in the platform, after 14, which is the last one of the banking reform, it starts the monetary reform, and that starts with 15.
Oh, that's terrible. It should have its own section.
Well, maybe we want a bigger amendment than that, then.
Yeah, I mean, I think we need to fix that and give monetary reform a separate
part in the platform.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe we better take some time and review the platform and see maybe what we want to do with that.
Oh, I thought it just goes on and on. Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, but I do realize that putting a number in between the two sections is not possible to do.
Okay.
Right.
Unless you change all the other ones.
Yeah, I mean, we could propose that they do that, but maybe we want to reorganize that section.
This matter is something that kind of came to me as I was reading through the platform to say that it's sort of like a number of structural questions, I think, of how it's put together because for instance, This major blank, I guess I'm not even sure of that. It says banking and insurance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And to me, based on what follows, it should at least say banking, monetary, and insurance. So that monetary has its own place even in the title of the. That part.
Okay, well, maybe we should look at reorganizing that whole section.
I like the idea.
It would be good to have banking just have its own numbers, and then monetary reform its own numbers, insurance its own numbers, and you know, the others.
Yeah.
So that You know, that seems like a sensible breakdown.
So it's organized.
Yeah. Easier to find something.
Yeah.
I think the insurance does have its own numbers, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, does do they?
Doesn't it, Howard?
Pardon?
Doesn't the insurance section start off with a new series of numbers?
No.
No?
No. No, it, let's see. Where am I? I got lost. Here we go. No, insurance reform begins with 18.
With 18?
So yeah, we're kind of stuck with this numbering issue.
No, I don't think we are, Joe.
No, we could propose to just change the.
We can propose to renumber this and right. organize it better.
Renumbering is not a problem either, but I think it sounds to me like it needs the. Need some organization besides the numbering.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
The whole point. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
I'm glad to hear that.
Let's do this, okay? I hope some of our other members are willing to look at that and decide or come up with some recommendations at our next meeting. How's that?
Yeah.
You want to take a look at it, Howard?
Yes.
If I have time, I will also. I've been spread so thin that I'm having a lot of trouble getting anything done. So, and I need to look after my own health too. So.
Right.
And you know, I had some other things come up. This week too, so I had to take care of but personal things.
Right.
Anyhow,
what do you think about this, Rita? If we have banking and insurance reform, our position and green solutions, and it has banking reform, and then the numbers just start to keep going, even though we have other subheadings along the way. It seems like those subheadings ought to have a number.
Probably.
And then these go AB or something like that.
I'll have to look at the platform and see how the rest of it's numbered.
And yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's very important.
Okay, so anyway, let's wait and we'll do that. We'll discuss this again next week. There's not a big hurry on this, Joe, because, you know, we do have until September 30th as the deadline to take care of this.
Oh, thanks, God. I was just going to ask that question.
Yeah, it's, you know, but we wanted to get it in earlier than that so that it would be considered earlier than waiting till the deadline, because, okay.
Yeah. Well, we've got a good start.
Yeah.
I'll resubmit this for next week, as you said.
Okay, let us get a chance to look at it, and maybe we can come up with some suggestions and help you out with it. Okay?
Okay, I won't do anything until I do hear back.
Okay, yeah, do that, and we'll, you know, Howard and I, and anybody else that would like to look at the platform is welcome to do that as well.
Should I continue to try to work on the monetary reform as well or not?
I think so.
Yes, I would. You know, and we can then figure out how that will fit in with it. So.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you, Joe.
All right.
I'm happy to have you working on that.
Yeah.
Oh, Kevin showed up.
Kevin's here. Muted, but here.
No, that's okay. Then we don't have to listen to him.
Yeah. I unmuted it. I'm really high tech, and I know which button it is. So
you.
Fooey.
Okay. Okay. No, I've been here for a while. I listened to a lot of the discussion on amendment efforts. So.
Oh, okay. Well, gee, I'm glad we weren't talking about you, Kevin.
And Will's here.
Oh, yeah. Will's here too? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, hi, Will.
Mary's here still. Yeah, okay. All right. Let's see. I gotta get back to my menu here. My agenda.
Yeah.
Is this the right one? Come on. Oh,
so
I got the, oh, that's the right one. Okay.
Hello, I'm here. I'm just listening.
Hey, Will.
Hey there.
Oh, wait, I got the wrong date up here. I'm trying to get my agenda back.
Mary had asked where the agenda was located.
Pardon me?
I said Mary had asked where the agenda was located.
Who
it's
asked?
Located on Google Drive.
Mary?
Yes.
Mary asked? Mary. Oh, it's on the Google Drive under, is it minutes or meetings?
Meetings.
Thank you.
And then you got to go to 2019, and then you got to go to me.
Yeah.
Good, thank you. I'll find it now.
Okay. And then you have to go to May 16th.
Yeah.
All right, I gotta get Kevin in here.
Okay, Paul Crum he's not here today, right?
That's correct.
Anybody heard from him?
No.
Okay.
Why? Is it something you wanted?
No, just curious.
Oh, okay.
Just curious.
Let me see what else we wanted to do. Now, Eugene had written a paper on Greenbacks Pay Social Security. It's also in the discussion folder.
Mm-hmm.
And he also sent it out on the listserv.
Right, I haven't had time to look at that.
You haven't? Eugene, do you want to explain what it is and...
Yes, please do. I read it and had some comments, but I'd like to go through it.
Joe made some written comments and caused me to rethink it. And I wonder if I can ask two questions, which will put the paper I wrote in perspective, because there are two key questions that I don't understand, and I want people's comments about.
Okay.
Can, in an emergency situation, if we had, in some strange way, a progressive government, could greenbacks be implemented within the current banking structure?
Well, I'm not sure what.
I'm trying to understand.
I mean, they were. That was part of the mistake of greenbacks, was letting the banking structure remain the same.
I'm trying to figure out, is there some way in which greenbacks could compete somehow with the current banking structure? I mean, just some stepstone into the whole NEED Act that would benefit people, and they could see it as a weapon in their struggle, just like the populists in the late 1800s. You know, I mean, they wanted silver. They wanted to get the railroads off their back and so forth. And they developed a program, and it was never implemented because the banks were so powerful and they controlled the presidency of both parties.
That hasn't changed.
Just that.
Hey, go ahead.
So, Eugene, when you use the term greenback like that, it makes it sound like it covers more than greenbacks. That is to say, just what public money issuance. You said that something like in an emergency or in whatever circumstance. And the answer is it could happen with the passage of another greenback bill. You know, that is to say, a law that authorized by the Congress for the issuance of the money. But absent that, it can't happen. Absent that, now absent that, it really can't happen, despite the fact that the government can issue coins, to its own desires. So I think the answer to your question is no. That is to say, it's not possible for the government today. Let's say we had a progressive government, and it wouldn't be possible for them to just go ahead and issue the greenbacks, or call for issuing the greenbacks, or anything like that, until there was a law passed to that effect. Over.
Howard Stack.
Go ahead.
So Eugene, that goes saying right that a law is passed in order to create greenbacks, and that happened during the Civil War, and it would require a law to issue money today, because the current law has ceded that power to the banking system. And to think that a government-created money could compete with this banking system is just a fairy tale, because the banking system, just in the United States, just J.P. Morgan alone, is many times, what is it, four times the size of the federal government. And so that's power over the top of government.
Howard, when you say four times the size of the government, what do you mean by that?
Oh, that J.P. Morgan controls $78 trillion in derivatives.
Okay.
So basically, money over the top of our economy. The federal government has what, $22 trillion? Something
I don't
like
know.
That in their budget, you know, their
budget,
whole thing.
That's correct.
Oh, that's their debt. You mean $22 trillion is the national debt?
Yeah, and so whatever. Company dominates the money system, you know, they pretty much set the policies they have the power to do it.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether or not the Bank of England is owned publicly.
Okay.
Just that.
They're divorced.
Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, so Eugene, I want to also add one more thing, because we have the Federal Reserve Act, and that's the act that's in effect now. So that's our sort of our National Banking Act, and because of its provisions, we can't do what you're saying. But as a for instance, had it been our banking act, such as the Bank of Canada Act that created the Bank of Canada back in 1935, that act provided that the central bank could finance the government, okay, at no cost to the government, which is the same as money creation. It's exactly the same thing. And it could have been written that way. So So basically, it's just that we're under this law, under that Bank of Canada Act law for, I forget how many years, but for, you know, several decades, they financed the government without any cost until 1974. And then the Bank for International Settlements came in and said that they couldn't do it anymore, and they stopped it. Then the government of Canada had to borrow again from the private bank. So, in other words, it's whatever's in the enabling legislation, and today we're drafted by the Federal Reserve Act, which says that the government, it doesn't say really that the government doesn't have to say that. It just has to say, like Howard said, that we've empowered them to create the money, period. And in order for the government to issue money, it takes another law. Over.
Eugene Stack.
Go ahead.
Joe, could you elaborate on the Canada situation and who decided in 1974 they could not do it anymore?
BIS.
The thing is that the Bank of Canada Act was put together by a bunch of very progressive socialists, you know, from out west, and they had a lot of pressure. That even from the Social Credit Party, which wanted to go even further. But anyway, they wrote up this Bank of Canada Act with enormous public powers. Enormous public powers, as you could imagine. And so immediately upon its passage, the government could pass a budget, and whatever it didn't have in taxes right there could say that we needed that much more to pay for it. And the Bank of Canada would basically put a big credit in their account for that amount. They would spend the whole budget. And they did that year after year, how they built the railroad, how they got all their social programs financed, et cetera. What made Canada great, as great as it is was due to that Bank of Canada's provision. But in 1974, they were visited by the, and this is in a book, I think, the Banksters, but anyway, that in 1974, the Bank for International Settlements went to the Minister of Finance and said, you have to stop doing that. And, you know, they always have it, or else, and the or else would have to do something with international trade, but everybody's playing by the same rules. And so Canada's finance minister just backed down and instructed the government that the government had to borrow. So that was the power broking that ever since then they could borrow.
Eugene Stack.
Go ahead.
Did you say the book was The Banksters?
Hang on, I got it behind me. I'll get it.
Could anyone tell me when the Bank of Canada Act was passed, approximately?
The first?
1938.
Thank you. So that's a Depression Act. Okay. Thank you. That is helpful history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of history is. I love Galbraith's quote that the problem with the economy is not a lack of knowledge of economics, it's a lack of knowledge of history.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Kevin Stack.
Sorry, Eugene, I couldn't put my hand on it right this minute, and I will tell you the title at the end.
Does anyone know, I don't recall Canada having a lot of inflation during this time. What was their monetary record or history, or is there a good reference for that?
Yeah, it's all, you know, I don't know if you guys have seen any of Will Abrams' videos. Will Abrams is a Canadian, you know, who he died really, you know, fairly recently, but he used to be at monetary reform conferences, and he did a series of YouTube videos that talked about all of this stuff and he uses he uses the graph of the debt and everything. And in there, he talked about the fact that there was no inflation, to answer that question. Okay. That is to say, very, very little to none.
Yeah, and he has this graph, you see, like 1938 all the way to 1974, and the national debt is like a straight line. And then 1974, it goes like this.
Right.
Very right. Impressive.
Yep.
Okay.
I have a question about this concept that Eugene brought up about the greenback being issued alongside the bank money, and it makes me wonder about the current European strategy to have central bank digital money alongside the bank money. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. It's going to be problematic, I think. And I think some of them have recognized that, have they not? Didn't Huber say something about that?
I don't remember what he said about it.
Sue, could you amplify what you said, please? Could you say it again?
So, Eugene, you were talking about having greenback national issued debt-free money alongside the bank money being issued, and what would happen? And so historically, the same thing happened in Canada, and that was ended, and the greenback was ended basically. By the bankers. So in Europe, at the IMMR, the International Movement for Monetary Reform meeting in Madrid, a number of countries, now this is all in the European Eurozone, and actually outside of it. Sweden, I think, is outside the Eurozone. It's in the European Union, but outside the Eurozone. They have proposals, and people were bringing them up at the IMMR meeting, proposals for central bank digital money. So for instance, I, as a citizen of Sweden, I could have instead of having my checking account at my Swedish commercial bank, I would have an account, a current account, in my central bank. And I didn't understand how the two monies would mix,
Kevin Stagg.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I saw a video on this on YouTube, and I was looking at it, it's kind of a payment system type, it's related. What you have are various special interests trying to move in on the money system, because of course we're not the only ones who figure out that if you can control the money issuance and creation and all that, yeah. So a lot of people are doing this, and then you have the Bitcoin, which is an obvious example. I mean, they're just very blatant about it, saying that yes, we want to have our own money. We want to create this money, that has inspired a lot of people to believe that digital money will work. But and you know, that they could have digital money. And now, you know, since you have digital money, why bother with all of these other banks, because you just have one centralized bank and one accounting system. And it simplifies, because the payment system is basically just that. It's just a giant computer nowadays, and everybody has their little codes and enters their little digits. And, you know, and it reconciles everything like that. And so they have, so the idea of the electronic currency is that you get it all simplified down to one basic thing. And, you know, this gives tremendous control. It gives whoever has the monopoly on that situation can charge enormous rent for it. You know, and it's just one of those things like that. But I'm afraid it won't work, because, you know, what if you don't want to carry your cell phone with you? I mean, that's, it can be defeated that simple. Howard's neck.
Oh, yeah, Howard.
I think the thing that they overlook is that money to these folks is a weapon, and they know how to make monetary war. And so anytime a country wants to issue its own money, they're coming up against people who are very experienced at making monetary war. And they can put that currency out of business, usually pretty fast. But, you know, it's just because they, it's a huge, huge system that they dominate. You know, they're able to buy congressmen, for instance.
Yes, a whole government, for that matter.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, it's not, Kevin Stack.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. It's not just that they, as in the banking cartel, are able to buy these people and everything. I mean, this is a whole social hierarchy power structure. The banking cartel does not rule as a dictatorship. It is, it's basically a ruling class. And you are paid, right, for your loyalty, you're paid for your involvement, you're paid for how much influence you can bring to bear on society to maintain this system. And it is kind of
opposition paid to defeat you.
Right. It's a tribute system. And I mean, it's just something that people, a lot of people understand it. You know, a lot of people do understand it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But because they control, but there's no way to organize if you have no resources and you can't function in a social manner. You can't organize. So, and they are organized, and they are the only ones who are organized. You know, and I think that that's really true, that, you know, the Green Party and any other kind of progressive or whatever group has all these problems, and people think that it's because, you know, they're not capable or whatever. But I think that the basic ability to organize is something that can be controlled, and I think it is. And, you know, that's, it's just done like that. I mean, the money is so much the perfect device for doing this, and they control it. And, but, you know, I'm also kind of fatalistic about it, because I think that whoever controls money, I mean, our notion of some kind of altruistic money system, I don't find that to be particularly credible. And the reason I don't is because if you control money, you're going to spend all of your time defending yourself. And that's, and they, and the Federal Reserve and the monetary authorities that we live under today, they do spend all of their time defending themselves. And they do it in spectacularly aggressive ways, like, you know, blowing your country up and taking down Venezuela or Libya or something like that. But those are defensive moves. They're doing that because those guys were trying to break away, not because, you know, they're conquering them or anything. You know, so they're defending themselves. When you're on the top, you know, the only place left is to go down, right? When you're at the top, the only direction you have to move is down. And that's where they're at right now, I think. So, you know, anyway.
Kevin, what's fatalistic mean?
Well, fatal, you know, what I'm saying is that that if you have a monetary system, you're just going to have to spend all your time defending that system. So it's fatalistic in the sense that what I meant was that, you know, your scope of altruism is going to have to be somewhat limited, because you know, I mean, like Venezuela, I think there was on the what do they call that little monetary reform group that Howard is in, and I'm in it too, the Americans for a Just Monetary System or something like that.
Alliance for Just Money?
Alliance for Just Money, right, okay. Okay, I'm sorry. But they were having a discussion about a hyperinflation. And, you know, look at Venezuela. What happened in Venezuela? There was an attack on that currency and, you know, on the Venezuelan money system. And it was very successful. The Venezuelans didn't know what hit them. And, you know, that practically brought the government down. Now, you know, it's just like the American Revolution. The British counterfeited all of the continental currency, but that wasn't good enough to defeat the revolution. But it sure messed it up, I think. I think it sure made things difficult.
Mm.
It is so difficult. Right. So the Venezuelan money was attacked and ruined. But I don't think the Venezuelans to this day understand what happened to them.
I was just going to add, you know, up through 1970, early 1970s, the economics profession was supporting capital controls. So money, American dollars, was very hard to leave the country. And then they changed their mind. Because whoever was talking to them from the bankers said, oh, no, it's bad to have capital controls. So then they got rid of the capital controls. And the banks started printing all this money, and it started going all out over the world and everything. So there are things you can do to ward off attack, you know, one of them being capital controls.
Right. Well, this was also, does this relate to the gold window and all that back in the 1970s?
Yeah, the Nixon stopping the international gold transfers. So yeah.
Right. I think of these things as the concepts of money as opposed to actual, I mean, you know, to me it's not monetary, it's the concepts. What is the culture telling people? What does the culture believe? And you have to play that. I mean, that you can't have money that the culture doesn't believe in. That won't work.
Right. So, acceptance is really important.
Right. So so they have these things because people, that's, you know, in order to maintain the fantasy that they depend on or whatever. So anyway, okay, I just wanted to say that. I don't know what it means.
Okay. I know what it means. What you said made a lot of sense.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin.
Yeah.
I want to get a recording of that whole thing that you started from the beginning. That was a lot of stuff.
Howard, are you recording this?
This is kind of turned into a coffee house.
No.
Sue, are you recording this?
Yes.
Oh, Sue's recording it. There you go.
All right.
Great.
I'm not going to try to put
all that in my life.
I'm not going to try to put all that in my notes here, though, okay?
Eugene Stack.
Go ahead, Eugene.
I have a second question. If the Constitution states that Congress has the power to issue money and control money, then why can't Congress just delegate that power to the Fed and to private banks? Why, you know, because I think the NEED Act and our position, I'm trying to think of how to counteract the initial criticisms. And that's right. Going to be one of the big ones. That in 1914, Congress gave that power up, just like the power to declare war. They've given it to the presidency, and that's a perfect, correct delegation of power. Could someone answer that for me?
You can't have the government designate this. That's something that there's some functions of government. The Congress has the power to coin money. You can't designate that, and it wasn't so much a designation as it was a takeover and a con job. And Woodrow Wilson, who was half brain dead, for want of a better phrase, went along with it. I think he said somewhere that after he was out of office, or just about out of office, or had a stroke, or whatever it was, that was one of the worst decisions he made, was to go along with that. So it's kind of like you had a gang, I think it's The Creature from Jekyll Island, that's the title of the book, and it wasn't so much as we're giving it to you, it's we're taking it. We're taking it by hook and crook, we're going to make misrepresentations. It's kind of like a salesman that sells you something, and after you get it home and you get a good look at it, it's like, wait a minute, he told me it was this,
right?
Turns out it's that. So it was really a con job. So the government has certain powers, and the people in government, if they're not trustworthy and decent and really take their oath seriously, they'll do big time.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes. Joe, is that, did you say Stack?
Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so Eugene posited a good question, which is, well, Congress had the authority, and they delegated the authority to the private sector, and they're just doing the system. And there is a huge question about the constitutionality of that delegation of power. It's a huge question, hasn't never been dealt with. But even if you give it to them, and you say, okay, that's the situation that it is right now, what do we say about that? And what I say about that is, we want it back. You know, we want it back. It's our power, and the Congress gave it to the private sector. They didn't ask the people, and the people didn't have any idea about it. And in fact, when it happened, it passed mainly on the basis of it was going to prevent the booms and busts that had brought the country down in 1907. So it was a promise that if we adopted that, and it was even called a federal system. So in other words, there was too much chicanery that resulted, as Matt said, in the passage of the bill, and we want it back. And all of these things, when we're talking about all of these things, are why I say we need to push for a national monetary commission today. Over.
I knew he was going to sneak that in.
John, the thing is, those bankers engineered that instability to pass their bill to turn the power over to them, too. They were manipulating the economy throughout whole last half of the 19th century, trying to get rid of the greenback.
Yep.
Causing all kinds
of trouble.
Okay. Well, Eugene, did you get your questions answered?
Yes, that was very helpful, and I appreciate all the input.
Okay. I think, what else have we got on our menu here? Kevin, what's going on with the website?
Well, I have had a little bit of time to mess with it, and I did one little thing, which was fix the little file uploader and program. I had a wrong entry in the configuration. So now you can upload and retrieve files. There are four files on there now. You have to be logged in to see that. You won't see that on the menu unless you're logged in. Howard had written, I noticed on the website for the Alliance for Just Money, that Howard had written a very nice little article. And I was wondering if that could maybe be, if you log in, you get your profile page, and on your profile page, there's a blog there's like a little thing that says my blog or whatever, or my articles or what have you. And maybe you could try putting that in, and then I'll look at it. You can't get it published, but you can get it in. And then I can look at it and also give you some exposure to the editor and everything. But the main thing about it that's necessary is just that you get all the text, because I thought it was just a regular plain article, right? It didn't have tables and pictures and different headings and outline and stuff.
Right, it had some links in it.
Okay, well, that's fine. That should all just paste right in, basically. And if it doesn't, the links are easy. But anyway, I do that if you could. And this should not take very long. This is basically a copy and paste. And and then I can look at it and see if I can get it where we'll have an article in there from somebody. And then, you know, this thing that we have on the greenbacks here, this is the kind of stuff that, you know, this would be fine. I mean, you know, you've rethought about it, Eugene, but stuff like this could go in there in your own blog or something. We'll try to figure out some place to put it where it's part of a discussion, you know? Okay, so just that, I mean, looking for content and stuff, but I was thinking that I also would probably need to spring for the, you know, probably need to just go and break down and actually pay for the upgrade stuff that these software vendors sell you, because the way the website stuff works is that you get a functional system for free, but it's you know, the biggest problem was the spam, computer bots that try to register on your system or try to commandeer the features of your system so that they can send email and pornography around the internet on your IP number, you know? So that's why I shut down registration, and that kind of stopped me on some things, and I just have to keep working on it. But I know that those are extra features. And so I know that those are part of some of the extra things, and they might be selling me a bill of goods there too, but it's not that much money to spend on it. So anyway, that's okay. So that's the report.
Well, thank you. Okay. You had asked something about for somebody, some of us to log in or something and do something. And what did you want?
Yeah, I kind of link for that.
Do what now?
I wonder if you could send me a fresh link to that.
I should have posted. I will post it on the mailing list.
All right.
I'll send a link on that on the mailing list.
Okay.
Great.
All right.
Eugene, I wanted to mention to you because I was reading Mark Pasch's book. I keep it by the toilet. But there's a terrific piece in here, The Abstract of Lincoln's Monetary Policy, talking about greenbacks. And it's kind of fun to read. So I'm going to see about scanning that into a document and putting that up on our thing. It's quite interesting. It's monetary policy that created the greenback.
Thank you. How many pages about?
It's just a page or so, or two.
Yeah. Wonderful. And who was the author?
Well, it just says Abraham Lincoln's Monetary Policy. So okay. I imagine his Secretary of Treasury or something like that.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks.
Sue Stack.
Eugene Stack.
Sue, did you say Stack?
Yes.
Okay, Sue's first and then Eugene. Okay, go ahead.
So you reminded me, Rita, that the website Greens for Monetary Reform.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
We were going to discuss that because Alan Smith, the webmaster for that, he gets a bill every year for $18 for the year for the URL. Plus, he said, that same site that goes to Greens for Monetary Reform is we saved another URL that goes to the same site called NEDAC.org. You know, so he's wanting to know what we want to do, you know. So each of those URLs is $18. Yeah. For the year.
Yeah.
I think I responded to that, Sue, and suggested that, you know, we should probably pay the $18 to keep the Greens for Monetary Reform, at least until we get something else up and running that's, anyway, so I think we should pay that.
Okay.
If you need $18, I can send it to you.
No, I can pay for it. You know,
okay.
People give me, pay me back at the annual meeting.
At the annual meeting, okay.
Take me out for a drink. How's that?
We'll pass the hat or something. Huh? Okay.
So in that case, I might personally save the other URL and pay for it for me personally, because I think it's going to come in handy in the future. Need
actually. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
All righty. So anyway, you'll pay for that
on behalf
of the committee. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Go ahead,
Joe.
Well, before we get away from that, I just want to make sure.
I think.
Sorry, I understood it. Am I muted?
No, you're not muted.
No, go ahead.
I think Eugene was on stage.
I will pass.
I'm sorry.
Okay, you pass. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, thanks. So the NEDAC.org that you're saying that for $18 we can have that URL?
Yes, well, he said it. They both point to the same address, to Greens for Monetary Reform.
I see. At this time.
But I can check with him, because maybe.
But I'm just wondering. I definitely don't think that we should let it go. Okay, it's a thing.
Yeah.
But I don't think that it's a Green Party thing necessarily. But it's just a matter of the Greens for Monetary Reform, whoever they are. So I'm willing to split that with Howard if he's willing to. If he's willing to split the $18 with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'll go a third with it.
Because
I think it's important. I like it.
Okay, good. Okay, that's great. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
All right, great.
Okay, we got that settled.
Eugene.
Go ahead, Eugene.
Could someone help me with the Canada Act and where I can follow up the Bank of Canada Act? Where are the books?
Oh.
There is a Will Abrams, who was the Canadian monetary reformer, who used to come to the AMI conference. He created a booklet, and I have it somewhere here, and I can probably scan it, but I don't know when I can.
You've done it.
It's around 20 pages, and it has the whole history in it. It's very interesting. It's excellent, actually. It's excellent. I'll try to find that. I'll make a note and try to find that and see if I can scan it.
All right. I mean, is anyone familiar with the Bankster's book? I never heard of it.
I've heard of it.
The Joe Man.
I've heard of it.
Okay.
Yeah, Eugene, I was just looking for the book, and I was holding up, sending everybody the link to the Will Abrams YouTube video, but instead I just sent everybody the link to the Will Abrams YouTube video. Really great. And everybody should also try to see that. But I'm getting back to finding that book. It's written by a Canadian author. I actually got it from Bo Young, but I have it, but I'm still trying to find it.
Thank you.
Yeah, that link, that email came through. I was just looking at it, Joe. Howard, did you say something?
Was it David Murphy and Martina Devlin? Were they the ones? They wrote a book called Banksters.
Okay, shall we move on?
Yes.
I threw election of officers on here. I sent out the notice to everybody that we will be having nominations for officers till the 23rd and then vote. And Howard has indicated that he wants to continue on as co-chair. And he also nominated Charlotte as secretary.
Uh-huh.
And she hasn't responded at all. She hasn't said whether she would accept that nomination. And I wanted to point out, even though the national guidelines indicate that they would like the committee chairs to be male and female, one of each or whatever.
Gender balanced.
Gender balanced, okay. Gender balanced, if possible, okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be gender balanced. So I'm suggesting that, I've indicated that I would prefer not to stay on as co-chair, and we're looking to have somebody else serve in that capacity. And I don't know exactly who might be interested in doing that. So could be anybody. It does not have to be the same gender. So.
All right.
And Kevin, I don't know. Do you want to stay on in your position?
Yeah, as long as we didn't have the educational coordinator. You guys need to get more material out here so that I can be.
So you can coordinate it?
Yeah.
I've been suggesting that, but it seems to be. A bit of time to get some stuff together.
It's not that easy. Every time, and I this happens to me. I've started two or three articles, and then I get, into it. And I think, I wonder how that really works, And then you have to stop and think and research and all that, and that really kind of slows it down quite a bit.
Okay.
What's happening with your interest video? That's very good.
I am trying to include the payment system. I'm trying to split it into two videos, one with the payment system and then the other one how the necessity of inflation in order to make the debts payable. So the payment system is a much more subtle topic than I realized at first because you don't even think about it. And then they say, well, we're going to put sanctions on Russia or China. What's Venezuela, I guess. Okay, and so how do they do this? And it's the payment system. They just cut them out of the payment system.
Right.
And, but nobody understands that, So anyway, there's actually a lot to it. And the payment system is very definitely controlled by Wall Street banks. I mean, there's absolutely no question about that. So anyway, it's just taken me a while, and I've been busy. I've been working, and I've just been busy. So anybody that has great stuff on the payment system can certainly send it to me.
Okay. So anyway, that doesn't help with our electric problem. I don't know. Maybe, Howard, you may end up by yourself with a vacant seat.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Well.
You better start recruiting somebody to help you, maybe, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm just going to see about working on that.
Or maybe we can get some, you know, some help on a rotational basis or something. I don't know. But anyway, I'm just finding that I have just spread myself too thin lately. So,
right.
I'll still be in the committee and I'll be happy to help out with stuff. But I don't want all the responsibility for running all these meetings and all this stuff. So.
All right. Well, I can keep up the meetings. For sure, and I intend to keep working on the flyers and pamphlets too. Mm-hmm. I didn't do anything this past week on it, but I'm definitely looking for spending some quality time on it.
Okay.
And I'm available after October. I mean, I'm just not available in time.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Well,
now I got into looking for the Bankster's book.
Go ahead, Bill.
The Beyond Bankster's book. I put the notes up to everybody.
Beyond Bankster's. Okay, yeah, I saw that one there. Okay, that's the one.
I thought I just heard Sue's offer that to co-chair after October, or at least to be thinking about that. Is that right, Sue? I didn't want to put any words in your mouth. I wanted to be sure.
Yeah, well, you know, after October, I'm free. Well, I'm not free, but, you know.
You'll have that major project then.
Yeah, that's a major project. I need to.
Yeah.
I mean.
But in the meantime, we have nobody in the chair. And I was wondering if it would be okay that, or appropriate, that we nominate Sue with the understanding that she's not going to be actively in the position until after October. Is that not appropriate or not appropriate?
I suppose it would be.
I don't know.
Okay, right. So we may do that sometime really soon, but in the meantime, we hope that there's going to be somebody comes along and takes up the. When do we have to do this by, Rita? Or when should we do that?
Actually, you know, our annual. Our meetings, our rules say, I'm tired. our rules say that we do this to coincide with the annual meeting, okay? That we have an election at the same time as the annual meeting. So anyway, however, you see, after we were accepted as a formal committee, we were supposed to elect permanent officers, and we haven't done that. So we're trying to do two birds with one stone here, to fill or to have a formal election, and then we decided that we would, whoever got elected, we would just have them continue on through the first year, you know, so that we wouldn't have to have another election in a couple of months.
Right.
So, I suppose we could function with a vacant position with whoever can help out with it, you know, I suppose that would work. I don't know.
Okay. Well, Sue could be a figurehead. I mean, I can do, set up the meeting and do some of that, busy work that we have to do if we get new members. Other than that, that doesn't seem like a whole lot, but but you'll still be coming to the meetings, won't you, Sue?
Yeah, I'll be attending the Thursday.
So you can just, you know, be a co-chair at the meeting and...
Well, I'd prefer not to. I just don't want that. Okay. I don't want that pressure.
Yeah, well, I understand.
But maybe, Joe, maybe you could be co-chair until October.
Or Mary. What about Mary?
I don't know if Mary's... She's muted and got her picture turned off, so I don't know if she's paying attention. Maybe she fell asleep.
Kevin Stack.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Is there a provision in the bylaws for interim elections and stuff?
Well, what they
filling
say,
a vacancy.
If a co-chair or an officer resigns, we can choose a replacement, you know, till the next election. I think that's what it says.
All right. Well.
Yeah. So this is kind of unique. This is first time get her done.
Well, okay. Anyhow, I don't know how to resolve that and everything, but
yeah. So do we have a date?
Joe, go ahead.
I think that I would rather, I would rather have a vacant seat with the view to make sure that it wasn't going to be possible for us to have a gender neutral executive. And then, I would think about saying I'll fill in until Sue comes and do it. But otherwise, I don't want to cut anybody off that might be willing to be interested in or to serve as the footkeer of the female gender. So I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
Well, we've got another week or so to ponder what should be done. So we can discuss it at our next meeting, and we need to find out if Charlotte's willing to be secretary. So
she did come regularly to the meetings,
I'll send her a note and find out. She's usually here. Yeah, I know why she's not here tonight. She had to work a 12-hour day and didn't get home till 8 o'clock, and so I don't blame her for not being here tonight. So,
let her know that the chair's position is also open.
The chair also,
Vice chair.
Yeah, co-chair.
Yeah, I don't know if she'd be interested in that, but, I can find out. So, I'll send her an email and see if she's willing to accept the secretary position that Howard nominated her for. So she does come to most of the meetings. I mean, that's a number one plus factor. Okay. We only got about 10 minutes left. Mary was asking about at one of our meetings if we could go over some of the documents that are on the review page there and talk about, what's in them and how they or what edits are supposed to be made on them and so on. But I don't think Mary, are you paying attention? No, I don't think so. We can do that.
Would that be the documents for discussion?
Yeah. She sent an email out. And what did she say exactly? Let me see if I still got it in my inbox here. She said. Hang on, I'm pulling it up. My computer is so slow when I have this Zoom program on. I don't find it now, so.
Eugene Stack.
Go ahead, Eugene.
I would like to make a comment on the payment system that Kevin was talking about. In the discussion of Trump and the United States pulling out of the Iran deal, the German foreign minister said that they were going to have to explore alternative means of payment because they wanted to continue their relationship with Iran in terms of importing oil and also doing business deals with Iran for construction, for selling products and for doing construction in Iran. And I'm just wondering down the road that we may end up with a two-payment system where China and its new Silk Road, and I mean, China just made a deal with Italy on some infrastructure plan that Italy needed the money, and China was offering it, and the U.S. government came out and attacked them, and so did central bankers in Europe also did. But I would, if people get hints that this money system, this money payment system is not monolithic and it begins to get cracks, I think it's an important subject that we should discuss in the future. And if anyone has examples, I would very much like to hear about it. Over.
Okay, thank you, Eugene. When you say examples, what you mean, what kind of examples?
Like the German foreign minister's comments, and set up some kind of thing that's outside the payment system that a country like Germany, who wants its national independence and should not be overruled by the United States or who it can trade with. I mean, it's absolutely, it's an authoritarian system. Yeah. And how they could accept this is shocking to me. That, I mean,
Kevin's dead.
Over.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, that's a very interesting topic. I mean, this is geopolitics. Germany is in kind of a unique position. You'll notice that France and England are not saying things like that, even though they might have those kind of feelings. And Japan, certainly, and what about, Korea, even when Korea looks like, oh, maybe we were thinking about unification, all of a sudden the military industrial complex is active over there and everything. But Germany is a different ball game because Germany is, the third most powerful country in the world, or somewhere in there. Anyway, it's up there. We don't acknowledge it in our media as Americans, but all Germany has to do to totally throw the entire system into kilter is just decide that they like Putin better than they like Trump.
They might do that too. They depend on stuff from Russia. So,
right. I mean, if Germany hitched up with Russia, and then China would jump right in, the foreign geopolitics would be a different game.
Yeah.
And the United States could be. Why do you think we have? How is Germany is an occupied country. And even though every serviceman wants the assignment to go over to Germany and enjoy the beautiful culture and everything, Germany remains an occupied country. So so it's just a different situation, Joe, but Eugene, I'm sorry. So these countries that start doing this, Venezuela, Libya, Iran, why is Iran in so much trouble all the time? What have they done? I can't think of a single thing they've done that's just, that's unusual, except that they're not in the petrodollar banking cartel.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I don't know. So, I'm Sue, do you mind? I wanted to ask Mary a question.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Mary, you sent me a note about wanting to go over something that we have on the Google Docs. What was your question exactly? And you,
Thank you. Tonight, we did this. We went to some level of detail about the proposal for changing the planks. I really appreciated that.
I just thought
there's so many projects ongoing, it would be nice if in the agenda each time, this is for me, it would feel good to me, if in the agenda each time there was 20 minutes or half an hour devoted to some level of detail on one of these projects, that the person who's writing it would be able to say, okay, what I'm really thinking and I really want it, it's not coming out right, or it is, you know, or what. And then on the Google Docs, it would be helpful for me to know what color is who and what's been accepted and what's only suggested. I'm just starting. I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah, I understand.
Over time.
You've walked into the middle of a mess. I've tried to reorganize it a little bit now and then. And actually, you know, what we don't do is put names on the stuff that goes up there. And so we don't really know who put it there.
Okay, and maybe that doesn't matter.
Yeah, and I was thinking we probably should identify who puts things up there, and I think a couple things I put on, I've indicated they were mine, I think. Mm-hmm. So
it'll take me a little time to learn how to do those.
Yeah.
Suggestions.
And I throw a lot of stuff up there because I run across it or somebody brings it up or whatever, and it's something that they have a link to, and I go find the link and I post it on there. There are links to things on there that are very interesting.
Right. I've followed some of them. Thank you.
Did you? Okay. And mostly I've been keeping up those pages that have all the links on them, so...
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it is just about time for us to say goodnight again. And
Could I just say my thought, Rita?
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot you were on stand, so go ahead.
Yeah. This is just to Eugene's question about the payment system. You know, there's more than one payment system. I mean, there's the Federal Reserve payment system. But there's also things like CHIPS, and there's a payment system in Europe. I mean, they all... at some point interconnect, but it's all computer connection. So, I mean, they could build a system between China and Russia and build a system. It's a computer system, you know, build the code and put in the hardware and have a system. But it would, you know, the connecting to another system, that's, you know, a lot of legal stuff and power stuff, you know, when it comes to the banking system. Yeah.
Hey.
Thank you.
And anyone else got a final comment here? No, other than good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you all.